And I think it's pretty evident, Brian, that you're a storyteller. You have a story of God's to tell. And he gives you that gift. And I love the fact that you're using it. What a tremendous gift to have, to be able to take his word and to know definitively, this is what he has for me. He wants me to tell his story. So thank you. That was wonderful. So what does God want? What does he want of us? I think it's an important question to address. It's an important question to know the answer to. This is kind of a question we're going to deal with this week. And I'll be honest with you, it's kind of a prelude to next Sunday. So there you go. Come back next Sunday. But what does God want of us? How do we know for sure what it is that his desire is for our life? And so today we're going to be reading in Acts chapter 16. And so for those of you that like to follow along, and I hope that's all of you, to be quite honest with you, to open up your Bible, whether you have the physical one in your hand, whether you have it on a phone, whether you have it on a tablet or device. But we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 16 this week. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 10. I'm going to read this week out of the New King James. But follow along in whatever translation that you have that you read God's word in. But we're going to talk about knowing what God wants us to do. What is it that his desire for us? And so let's read Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 10. This is God's word. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. But his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were there at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and he circumcised him because he knew the Jews who were there in that region. They knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders of Jerusalem. So the church was strengthened in faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Tros. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after that, he had seen the vision, and immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So we look at the word of God there, and we see a lot of different things. And so I think one of the biggest questions to kind of relate that to today, I don't think you have to be in the church. I think a lot of times there are people who they acknowledge God. They acknowledge that there is a God. And oftentimes people ask the question, what am I supposed to do with my life? And I don't even think you have to be a believer to ask that question. I mean, how many kids do we see? We celebrated graduation Sunday. That graduate high school, that graduate college, that leave the military, that lead a trade school, and they go, now what? What do I do with my life? Sometimes we have people, right, that hit what we call midlife crisis, right? What am I supposed to do with the rest of my life? And so it's a question that should get asked, and we should be asking whether we're a believer or not a believer. There are many scriptures which remind us that we are created with a purpose. Isaiah 49 says, "Before I was even born, the Lord called me from my mother's womb, and he spoke my name." Jeremiah reminds us, "I know the plans I have for you," right? John 15:16 says, You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. These are all scriptures that we can look at to understand that God does have a plan for us. Not just Jeremiah, but many other places. I love the fact that in Isaiah 49, before you were even born, I spoke to you in your mother's womb. There's a plan for you. You were created for a purpose. You know, very much like Jesus, I want to be able to say at the end of my life, I hope these words are true for you, Father, I have finished the work you have sent me to do. We see those very words in John. I have finished the very work that you created and sent me to do. So today we are going to look at that question. How do I know what God wants of me? How do I know what He wants me to do? Here's the key point of this entire message. Don't tune me out after I give it to you. I was fearful of giving it to you too soon. But here is the key point. The key to answering that question is two words. The key to knowing what God wants for your life comes down to one thing. You ready? Are you all looking at me? Better yet, are you hearing me? It comes down to this: the Holy Spirit. Now, don't think that's too simple. The Holy Spirit. The actual word that Jesus uses to describe the Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is our counselor. We talked about that several months ago. He is our counselor. We see that in John chapter 14. A counselor who guides us. A counselor who directs us. Who gives us advice. Who corrects us when we're going astray. Who speaks into our life. The Holy Spirit. Principal role is to speak to us so that we hear from God. You know, when we look at the book of Acts, our scripture today says, Paul attempted to go to the region of Phrygia and Galatia, right? And what did it say? But what happened when they attempted to go to these places? They were unable to go. The Holy Spirit said, no. He did not allow them. The Holy Spirit said, mm-mm. And they eventually ended up going to Macedonia. And they went there under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Throughout the book of Acts, it is not the apostles who decide where they go. They didn't decide. It wasn't them going, maybe we should go here. Maybe we should go to Lockland, Ohio. Maybe we should go to Reading, Ohio. Maybe we should go to Arlington Heights, Ohio. I don't think they realized those places even existed, but they didn't just pick a place on the map. It was the Holy Spirit who guided and directed. So if you ever... we are to ever discover what God wants us to do, we have to listen for the direction of the Holy Spirit. So what are the keys to doing that? Because there are some keys to doing that. The Holy Spirit is very clear when you are in tune with the Holy Spirit's voice. It is amazing. The more that you are in tune with God, His Word, and what the Holy Spirit is saying, those questions seem to go away. So if we are to discover what it is that God wants us to do, what is it that I'm supposed to do with my life, we need to listen, and we need to listen to the counselor. So first, we need to hear the Holy Spirit's voice. We must be actively participating in a community of faith. Paul takes Timothy with him on his missionary journey. In the book of Acts, the Spirit moves, and we repeatedly see the word together. I'm going to kind of get on my soapbox a little bit here, so just know that. When I hear people say, I believe in God. I know who God is. I've accepted Jesus. I don't need the church. I think you're going against the direction of the Holy Spirit. I've said it before. There is no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. You do need the church. Over and over and over and over and over again in the New Testament, we see where they came together. They were part of a body of believers. Paul and Timothy are great examples of that. Acts chapter 1 says, "So when they came together." Well, that's pretty clear. We start right off in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 2 says, "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place." Do you catch the order there? They didn't come together because it was Pentecost. They didn't come together because the Holy Spirit was moving. They were already gathering together. They were a community of believers together. And they were there actively participating so that when the Holy Spirit came, as a side note, next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. The Holy Spirit speaks in the midst of community. The Holy Spirit speaks in the midst of community. Did you catch that? Revelations chapter 3. It says, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Whoever has ears to hear. The Spirit speaks in the midst of community. That is why if we are committed to hearing God's voice and want to seek the purpose for our life, we need and must be in a community of other believers. It's never enough to believe in Jesus alone. We need to hear. This is the difference between being saved. The only way to be saved is through belief and acceptance and repenting, right? Through Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. But then we talk about the fact of being sanctified, to growing closer to Him. As a holiness church, we sang the words, "Holiness unto the Lord." If we are a holiness people, we are to be saved, and we do that through Jesus Christ. But then to be a sanctified body of believers, we need to be moved by the Spirit. We need to continue to grow and hear what He speaks into us and to us amongst the body in community with one another. Second, we need to focus on the work of the kingdom. In the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit also directs Paul and the apostles where to go and do God's work amongst the people. It is never about us. Have you ever noticed that in the New Testament? I got to tell you, I've been spending a lot of time in the New Testament lately. Some of that is because it's the last class I took, but it's amazing. The people there. Paul writes a lot of the New Testament. But you can look at Paul, you can look at Timothy, you can look at James, the list goes on. They were involved with the work of the community of believers. They were involved in the church. It was never about them. Well, the church doesn't meet my needs. What is the church going to do for me? You're missing the point. It's about what we do as part of the body. In our culture, a culture like ours, let's be honest, we live in a culture in a day today where it's all about me. How many commercials out there follow the tagline of Burger King? Anybody know the Burger King line? They're not the only place. I got to tell you, I kind of like Burger King's burgers, to be honest with you. But our society is, what about me? What are you doing for me? Our culture kind of pounds that into our brains. In reality, God's purpose for our lives is never about us. It's about the purpose of the kingdom. So when the Spirit speaks, it's about the work and the mission of God. The word church in the Greek, here's your Greek lesson for the week. The word church in the Greek is ecclesia. It's actually a secular word referring to community. And it specifically speaks to a community's city council or leadership. It's about being part of community. And so we see here in the Greek, the word ecclesia is used to be a part of the community of believers. Luke uses the very word ecclesia because the church is called out of the world to conduct the business of the Father to transform the world. That word is used there. The Spirit speaks in the midst of community for the sole purpose of transacting the work and the purposes of God. It is not about us. It's all about God and His purpose. Thirdly, you need to nurture your relationship with the Spirit to hear the promptings of the Spirit. In Revelation chapter 1, John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying. I don't know how many of you have ever stood right in front of a trumpet. Man, I tell you what, if I heard a verse, heard a voice that was like a trumpet standing behind me, it'd probably catch my attention. Trumpets are fairly loud. Both of my boys learned to play trumpet when they were in junior high. Let me tell you, a trumpet in your house is loud. So if it's right behind you, you will hear it. Now the Lord's day is the Sabbath. It's our day of worship. So John is in worship. And while there, he was in the Spirit. He was in the Spirit. In other words, he was there gathered together with the body of believers. He was there to worship. And he was ready to hear from God. His heart was attuned to the heart of God. He spiritually prepared himself for worship before he ever walked into worship. Kind of putting that to us here. That's a whole lot different than I think sometimes we arrive on Sunday. I mean, let's just be honest. I'm like you sometimes, right? You get up and you're like, oh, I don't want to get up. Let's be honest. You have those days. Maybe you were out the previous night with friends and were having a wonderful time and you were in fellowship with other believers. You know, those nights happen. Michelle and I had a wonderful dinner with another couple last night. And we went, oh my goodness, it's 10:30. Which, I don't know, for some of you, I know that's not late. That was late for me on a Saturday night. I'm usually in bed by then. But for some of you, I know 10:30, you're just getting going, right? Because you're night owls. But we like to sleep in. You know, this next point, I'm mostly speaking to myself. I don't know about any of you. Before I do anything in the morning, I need to do one thing. Very good. Coffee. You know me well. I got to have my coffee, right? We got to get the kids dressed. Thinking about a normal Sunday morning, we got to get ourselves dressed. We got to get going. We got to hurry up. Got to make this happen. Oh, I'm taking snacks to Sunday school. Uh-oh, I forgot. Right? So we got all these other things going on. We're driving down the road and all of a sudden crazy things like a train stops right in front of me. That's never happened to any of our people, right? Or you're coming across 275 or down 75 and somebody goes from the outside lane and cuts right down in front of you because that really makes you excited and happy when that happens, right? So we arrive at church with all these other things. We walk into the doors of the church and we go, whew, that idiot cut me off. We say things like that, right? That stupid train, if it would just stop stopping. Stop stopping, yeah. And so our mind is on other things. And our son or our daughter just wouldn't get dressed this morning in time in a quickly fashion. And they put on polka dots and stripes at the same time. And we had to redress them. I don't know, maybe it's your spouse that did that. I don't know. But John, the author of Revelation, has prepared himself for worship. He came and he entered into a mind and a heart of worship, attuning his spirit to the voice and the promptings of the Spirit within the community. He goes on to say, I heard behind me that trumpet, that loud voice. And by using this analogy, John is saying he has not only heard God, But he heard God loud and clear. It's not just about preparing for worship on Sunday morning. You have to work and prepare yourself, your spiritual hearing, all week long. It's not just about Sunday morning. You realize that, right? What are you doing on Sunday? Oh, I got to go to worship. Well, what do you do on Monday? Well, I go to work. No, you go to worship. Tuesday, you're in worship with God. Wednesday, Thursday, did I miss a day? I think I missed a day. Anyway, every day of the week, we are in a spirit of worship every day. It is absolutely essential. How do we do this? Sometimes it really is just this simple. So don't miss it. We need to be in prayer daily. We need to be reading His Word. You know, sometimes, and this is a pretty new Bible. I just got it pretty recently. I just have it here on my pulpit. I only use it for Sunday to preach from. But sometimes I have people that I see who have been lifelong Christians, and their Bible isn't brand new like this one is. And they're like, oh, I've been carrying this Bible for 25 years. And it looks like it's never been opened. It looks like it's never been opened. You know, I like having a nice, pretty new Bible up here on my pulpit. It's nice. But the one that I use every day has torn and ragged edges. And it's got some underlining in it. I started to highlight, but it bled through, so I stopped doing that. Went back to underlining. Does your Bible look like it just came out of the box like this one about 2 weeks ago? Or do you have a 25-year-old Bible that looks like it's 25 years old? I hope that you do. So we spend time every day praying, reading Scripture, meditating on His Word, being in community with other believers. You know, most of us just rush on one thing to the next, and I get it. There's times in my life where it's been crazy. I live more by the schedule on my calendar than the schedule of what God has for me. I get it. We need to realign ourselves. That's one of the important things about being in community, is those that we are in fellowship with and fellow brothers and sisters in Christ can help bring us back and say, hey. Important things, you know, as a pastor in the Church of the Nazarene, you may not know this. We are required to have a mentor. Okay? That's a wonderful thing. Hear me, that's not just for pastors. That's not just something that Pastor Jillian and myself do. We should all have mentors. Young people, middle-aged people, older people. You should have somebody who's pouring into your life and guiding you. You know, one of the great things about being in a body of fellowship, and I'm going to kind of call you guys out right now, because I don't care who or what age you are. Who's the youngest person in the room? Probably Holly, right? Layla. Will, there he is. Okay. Whether you're Will or whether you're Aunt Sis, she knew I was going there. You should have someone pouring into your life. You're 20, 30 years old. Pour into the life of a teenager, into a young person. Pour into Will's life. You're 40, 50 years old, pour into a 20-year-old. We have a few of them that are just getting married, and they're trying to figure out how do we live as a married couple, right? How do we figure this out? How do we live in a house together? How do we make, there's more back, you know. If you're an older person, teach and lead. I'm pretty sure we're told in Scripture, older people. We can look in the book of Titus, teach the younger. It doesn't matter your age. I hate to tell you this, Aunt Sis. I'm just going to keep using you. Sorry. Lead and teach the younger people. We see what it takes, what it's called out to the apostles and the leaders and the elders of the church. Older women teach the younger women. Tells us that in Scripture. There is no retirement age. So even at 99, you don't get to retire. All right. Teach and lead and pour into the younger. Guide them. You have life wisdom. You have, I hope, scriptural wisdom. Younger people need that. Younger, in other words, anyone younger than you. You should either be being mentored or mentoring someone. I heard something last night in the dinner we were having. You cannot, hear this, you cannot be a disciple of Christ if you are not discipling someone. Do you hear that? You cannot be a disciple of Christ if you are not discipling someone. It's not about you just receiving the word and stopping right there. You want to know what what does God want from your life? To be in relationship with Him. What did Jesus say? What's the greatest commandment? You want to know what is your desire for your life? What is the direction of your life? What does God want of our lives? He wants you to love God and love people. If you haven't noticed, we talk about that here at Lachlan. It's on the front of your bulletin. Love God and love people. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Disciple other people. Mentor other people. You can use a whole lot of words there. And you do that by being in tune with the Holy Spirit. Being a part of the body of believers. Paul writes these words, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." I just mentioned earlier, Brian. He's a wonderful, gifted musician, and he's a storyteller of God's word. And it pours, and hopefully it touched your lives today. Spiritual gifts are those abilities that we get to use for the kingdom of God. Spiritual gifts are the answer to the question, what am I to do with my life? The Spirit also equips us with a passion. He will equip you, even when you think, oh, I could never do that. I could never do that. Because sometimes we have people who God speaks into their life, and they say, God, I'm a stutterer. Anybody know anybody in the Old Testament that answered that way? I'm a stutterer. I can't talk to people. Anybody know who that was? Moses. I'm a stutterer. I want you to build a boat in the middle of dry land. Are you crazy? But he was in tune with the Holy Spirit. He was in tune, so he heard what God was telling him. Maybe you're someone that came, maybe your name is Saul, and your whole passion and purpose of life was persecuting believers. And all of a sudden, God gets a hold of you, and he speaks and scares the living daylights out of you, right? Everybody remember the story of Saul, who became Paul? And became a part and a leader of the community. The Spirit equips us with the gifts that we need. The Spirit equips us with a passion for what He wants you to do. I'll personalize that to me. I couldn't believe it the first time I knew that God was speaking into me to become a pastor and to preach His word. I'm like, I'm not equipped to do that. And I was right. I'm not equipped. I wasn't equipped. But I feel like He speaks into my life so much. There are times things come out of my mouth. I'll be honest with you. I'm like, where did that come from? Because I know I didn't have that in my notes. God will equip you with what He wants you to do. It's the when and the where of God's Spirit stirring. It's being part of a community of believers. It's about the guidance and the counseling that the Holy Spirit does. And you hear that best within the context of the ecclesia of believers, the community of believers. So if you are not actively doing the work of God and the mission of Jesus and understand what your purpose in life is, stop being a spectator. And I'm not trying to tell you, I don't want you to mishear me here. He doesn't necessarily mean he's going to call you into ministry as a vocation. Your gifts, your abilities, it may be for you to be a banker, to be a salesperson, to be a social worker, to be a, to work in the restaurant business, to, I don't know what that looks like. I think I hit a few people here. But to be within the body and the community of believers, to actively hear how he is directing your life. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what field you're in vocationally. Part of the answer of what is what God wants us to do with our lives? Love him and love other people. Be a disciple of him and to disciple other people. To share the good news. There it is. There's the answer to what does God want for my life? I got one more statement for you before I kind of wrap this up. I heard this statement and I thought, wow, this really applies here. Knowing what to do and to hear from the Holy Spirit, it isn't a statement like this. Get ready. Aim where he wants you to go. Right? Tell me where to go and then I'll go there and do your work. Fire. Right? Ready. Aim. Fire. How many times have we heard that statement? That's the progression. Ready. Aim. Fire. You know, that's not the way God tells us to do it. He says, get ready. Fire. Go. And then I'll aim you where you need to go. Does that make sense? It's not ready. Aim. Fire. It's ready, fire, and I'll aim you. Be in tune with me. Listen, and I will direct your path. Paul's vision didn't tell him what he should do so that he could get ready. It told him where to go because he was already moving. Being actively a part of a community of believers. I hope that made sense to you. So ask three questions. When you want to know what it is that you're supposed to do, God, what do you want of me? Ask these three questions. Where do you see the greatest need? If there's a need on your heart that grows to become a passion, God has done that. Second, what is my passion? Maybe you have a passion for something. If there's one thing you could do in the world, what would it be? Thirdly, how can I use the gifts and the abilities that I have to meet a need? There was a gentleman named Bob Logan, and he summarized the point of his life. It says, success is finding out what God wants you to do when you're in the midst of doing it. That kind of goes back to the ready, aim, fire, ready, fire, aim. Be active within the body of believers, and God will direct you and tell you what he wants you to do. So that's kind of my goal for you. That's also a lead up to next Sunday being Pentecost Sunday. Come back and prepare to look at Acts chapter 2. There you go, a little bit of homework. Read Acts chapter 2 for next week. You want to know what God wants you to do? Be actively involved with the Spirit and the community of believers, and he will make that clear to you. I promise you that he will. Promise you. Because each and every one of us has been given a gift, an ability. You at least have one. Scripture tells us that. Everyone has at least one gift. So there you go. That should make some of you excited. I'm not good at anything, right? No. You're good at something. God has given you that ability. So our goal this week is be in his word. Be in prayer. Be a part of the community of believers to hear the Holy Spirit. And he will direct you. And he will guide you. Let me close in a word of prayer. If you'll join me as I pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We desire to be in relationship with you. But oftentimes we ask the question, what am I supposed to do here? What is it that my life is supposed to look like? What should I do? And I don't think you have to be young, just starting out in life, to ask that question. What is it that you would want me to do? The first step is, I'm just going to be active in your community. I'm going to be active in hearing from you, reading your word, part of the body. Father, just speak into my life and direct me. Aim me where I'm going. Direct me with what you would have me do. Father, your word tells us, we learn, and we will see next week as we read through the book of Acts and understand that when we are actively listening, you move in amazing ways. So, Father, this week, I'm just asking that each person here's mind and heart would be open to you and hearing what you would speak into their lives, and that they would be receptive to the things that they hear. Father, we thank you, and it's in the name of Jesus that we pray and ask these things. Amen. Well, if you'll stand at this time, I would like to dismiss you with the pronouncement of this benediction. May the presence of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be above you, to overshadow you, to be before you, to lead you, to be behind you, to encourage you, and to be within you, both today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen.